It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve on this Friday morning all across the state of Michigan. Wishing a happy birthday to Tony Hadley. He's a singer-songwriter with Spandau Ballet, one of the big groups from the new romantic era in the early 80s, with a big song. This one, it's a good song, too. I like it. True Spandau Ballet. He is still active. He won a reality TV series called Reborn in the USA back in 2003, performed in a musical, Chicago in 2007. And I would imagine still touring with those Spandau Ballet songs here and there, too. Tony Hadley birthday today. He's 63 years old. Scott Bertram in for Steve, but Steve is still with us today on this Friday. Steve Doolin, professor and licensed attorney. Steve, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Glad to be here, Scott.
I don't know if you caught part of last hour's conversation, but there's a story in the Free Beacon and also through Politico on Hunter Biden, the president's son. He might be in some trouble. He was a drug user and also a firearms owner, purchased a firearm at a time when he has admitted to using crack cocaine often. And apparently his defense for this, Steve, is that that prohibition is actually unconstitutional. The president's son wants to open things up and perhaps allow gun purchases for people who are using illicit drugs at the time. Not what you'd expect from a guy with the last name Biden, but there you go. The motivation to avoid prison is powerful.
Well, that's a fact. Sounds like he has a smart lawyer. The question on the form says, are you addicted to or a habitual user of controlled substances? And I think, you know, the addiction part is arguable, but the habitual user, probably not, based on his own admissions during that time. So the motivator is lying on that form at purchase. It's the form 4473, has a whole list of questions. And if you lie on that form, that's a 10-year felony, potentially.
Yeah.
The sad truth is virtually nobody is prosecuted as a percentage. I mean, it's maybe slightly higher than getting struck by lightning, your odds of actually getting prosecuted. The gun control folks like to pass new gun control laws, but they don't like to actually enforce existing law. But I have to say, I probably agree it is unconstitutional to ask that question and to predicate a gun sale on that question.
That's a national law, correct, Steve?
Yeah, that is. That's Gun Control Act of 1968.
Okay.
Which was passed in the wake of the 1960s assassinations of the Kennedy brothers and MLK. You know, the desire to be seen to be doing something was strong in Congress at the time. So they passed the Gun Control Act, which created the whole federal firearm licensing scheme. Interesting side note, make of it what you will, but portions of that law were cut and pasted from Nazi Germany's gun control laws that were translated to English during the Nuremberg trials.
I did not know that, but now I do. Steve Doolin with us here on the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. A little bit lost in the shuffle yesterday, Steve, with the debt ceiling vote in the Senate and the House the day before. The Senate rebuking the president on this student debt relief plan, $20,000 in loan forgiveness for 40 million borrowers. The Senate passed a measure that's already passed the House and did it, as I say, in a tripartisan manner, both Republicans and Democrats and independent Kyrsten Sinema voting against the president to nix this student loan proposal from the president. Now, the president says he's going to veto, or it's assumed he will veto, and there's no two-thirds majority in either chamber to override, but it's a rebuke of a plan that, look, on its face is clearly illegal, and the Supreme Court's going to get a chance at it later on this year. Oral arguments are already taking place, but it's something to have both independents, Democrats, and Republicans voting against a Joe Biden proposal.
Yeah, that's an unusual consensus that this is not the way to go about it. You know, and it's worth talking about the fact that there are other ways to provide relief. First off, it's pretty much undisputable that the guaranteed student loan program has led to massive increases in tuition. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that there should be any competitiveness at the secondary education level, or higher education level, rather, because there's no shortage of rivers of cash flowing into these institutions. Each student who walks in has a price tag on his or her head, and there's if they raise that price tag, the feds just jack up the loan guarantees. So no big deal. So we've had tuition outpacing inflation for generations now. So probably something needs to be done because students are not getting their money's worth anymore. In most cases, the degrees are not worthwhile in terms of lifetime income. So they're paying a ton of money for multiple degrees in a lot of cases. They're selling extra master's degrees like crazy. Mm-hmm. At all these institutions. So something probably needs to be done. Another thing that could be done, though, would be to make student loans eligible for bankruptcy, at least more than they are now, because as of right now, it's extremely difficult, nearly impossible, to discharge a student loan in bankruptcy, even if the person is completely unable to work. There has to be a hardship level that's I used to teach bankruptcy, actually, class, and there's a case where a hardship application in bankruptcy was denied because the person listed a pet food expense of something like $20 a month. And so what I tell students is, you know, before you do your hardship application, you better eat Fluffy and not be feeding Fluffy.
or eat that dog food that you claim. Make well, it yeah. for you, not for the yeah. dog, right? Steve Doolin with us.
If we could get reasonable.
That's right. Steve Doolin with us, as he is most Fridays here on the Steve Gruber Show. Have a fantastic weekend. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Scott. You too.
More of the Steve Gruber Show up next.